You're listening to NativeTalk.net. Audio files are available online at NativeTalk.net. Bouncing 1.21 gigawatts of radio goodness off the newly repaired Hubble Space Telescope. Whoops. And now, your hosts, Cliff and Brandon, listen. Lots. There are people in China with poor reception. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.
Good morning and welcome to the NativeTalk.net radio program where we have another live show this time. This way, on like a bi-weekly basis, huh?
Yeah, we might want to change the scheduling just so we don't fail all the time.
Yeah, do you know what? You know which one I played last time, though?
No.
Okay, so last week I put on the one that me and you did with my wife, Alex, where we were doing we ended up doing a health pile about Alzheimer's.
I don't remember that.
Are you kidding? Yeah, that's what it was. It was like I had like six stories, and between every one, I would say new in Alzheimer's news. If you sleep on your side, it could prevent Alzheimer's or something. And you're like, really? How interesting. And Alex was like, you just did this story.
She's like, joke.
I think she got it. She was just playing along, because we were just. I listened to it again. It was really funny. So
yeah,
anyway.
That makes me laugh now just thinking about it.
Yeah, I don't remember about that.
Can you tell me again? I don't remember.
I've completely forgot. Yeah, it was, it made me laugh. Anyways, the email, if you want to be a part of the show, podcast@nativetalk.net. And as always, you can make comments through the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Native Talk Radio. We actually got some email responses to our last live show. So not last week, which was kind of a. It wasn't a repeat because nobody's ever heard it, but it was from our other podcast. But anyway,
that we used to do. We don't still do two podcasts. That's way too much hard work. We just do this one now.
Yeah, but so you've never heard it, so you should go listen to it. But we weren't live either, so. Anyway, our last live show was about Nancy.
And, hi, Nancy.
Chris wrote us.
And, we got another letter.
Yeah, we got another letter. He wanted to school me on the idea of white privilege.
Oh, thank God, because I tried. Man, I tried. I really did. I did my best to be respectful and try to let you know why white privilege is a thing, even if you don't, quote unquote, believe in it.
No.
Would you call it stupid? I think you called it stupid. I think you said it's stupid. I don't really believe in it.
Yeah, well, that's what he addresses. But you know what? We're gonna start with something fun. I don't want to do that just yet.
Thank God.
So, when it comes to the Plains Indians, we haven't talked about them in a while. Except I did on the Not Live show. I did. I talked about horses and stuff like that, so I did a little bit of it live. But
oh, cool!
Today I want to talk about food and agriculture. So, do you have
for the Plains Indians?
Yeah,
right?
for the Plains Indians. So specifically, do you know what they ate?
As far as I know, they ate wild grasses, I thought, and buffalo, and they're generally nomadic, and so they didn't really do much. Much harvesting or agriculture or anything like that, but they just pretty much followed the buffalo as their main source of food, I thought.
Yep, that is correct, for the most part. And it's one of the things that we talked about last week with horses, in that they didn't exist before the Spaniards came. I think it was the Spaniards. Yeah, the Spaniards came and they brought horses. Some of their horses escaped. And they, went up into the plains and that became a way of life. But that wasn't the case before. But
somewhere around the 1400s that happened. I don't know if that's accurate.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't do that much research. But it it made their nomadic way of life even easier because they could carry more heavier things for longer distances and stuff like that. But Not all Plains Indians stayed on the move. Some of them actually preferred to settle down and grow crops. And we're talking thousands of years ago. You had Pawnees and Apaches planting corns, beans, squash, melons, and tobacco. Now you
but that doesn't make sense. When the white people got here, it was a land full of savages that had no idea how to live a fruitful, pun intended, life.
Oh, yeah, they right?
I mean, they educated us, right? They brought us into the modern era. We couldn't do things for ourselves until Whitey came along.
Teach him, pale face brother, all about red man.
So
I'm just mad. I'm just mad.
I get where you're coming from, man. I got nothing to say because I don't disagree with you. So, but you can imagine the nomadic folks in the tribe who were kind of in my mind, I was imagining an oasis, you know, because if you have, you know, various settlements where people are like growing crops and, you know, things, you might roll into town and they're like, you know, oh, hey, my brother, I haven't talked to you in like years. I haven't seen you in a long time. Here, have some corn. And then they give them like meat and stuff because they're members of the same tribe. It's not like they're different tribes, so
warring factions or anything. Yeah.
No. I think they're friends. So now the folks who settled down and grew crops, they lived in round earth lodges. Now these lodges were not like tiny little things. You're talking about huge things, 40 feet in diameter. That means all the way across. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. If you walked from one wall to the next in a straight line,
off yeah, any 40 side, feet. Then- and 15 feet high. That's like a wow. That's almost a two-story building.
And you said they're earthen, but like what materials did it just mud and straw? Like how did they put these things together?
I'm glad you asked that because that's the next sentence in the story.
Yay!
They were made of a framework of poles, which they then covered with earth. So they just kind of, you know, basically built a frame and then kind of like filled it in and just, you know, poured over the top.
Which my head always breaks when I hear this because I try to picture that and I try to imagine like, say, 12 inches of earth, 18 inches of earth to make your wall. Doesn't the outside erode during wind and rain? Do you have to continuously build up your home? Like obviously it's not all going to wash away if you have 18 inches of dirt. You got what? 3 solid weeks of rain before you lose 6 inches or something. So you could just go out there and keep packing it on.
Do you periodically have to replace your roof every number of years? Do you sometimes have to repaint your home?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I thought paint and shingles last a little bit longer than earth and the rain, I think.
Maybe, but that doesn't mean that you're maintenance free. I know. I don't remember saying that once they built it, they then never did any repairs.
I'm just thinking about it. Like I'm just trying to put it into like a realistic terms to me, like picture it happening. And I'm like, I just think I'd have to go out there constantly and re-mud my walls.
You know, I don't think men have changed a lot in the last few thousand years. And on an off day, you go out there, I'm going to do some housework. You know, I'm going to build something. You know what I mean? People like to work on that stuff. I'm betting back then they maintained their homes just like we go out and mow our lawn. Okay. Now,
very intelligent response.
Have you ever lived in a house that had a basement?
No. Oh, wait. Yes, I have.
You have?
I almost answered too quickly. Yes, I rented a home for a year that had a basement.
Okay, what did you notice about the basement versus a room that was on the ground floor?
If the room in the basement floods, the water doesn't go anywhere. At least when the room upstairs floods, it all went down to the basement and you can forget about it. But if it floods in the basement, you have to deal with it.
Okay, that not quite what I was thinking.
Oh, look, my bad. All right.
When I was in...
Try again. All right. When you walk on the floor of the basement, your footsteps don't echo. It's very solid. But upstairs, it has a little give, a little cushion, and it makes a thump-thump noise.
Okay.
Kind of like that.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, when I lived in a house with a basement, what I noticed was that in the summertime, when it was really hot outside, it always seemed to be a little cooler in the basement. And in the winter, somehow, it stayed a little warmer there. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Earth.
So that was the same case with these, because they would dig them out into the ground, you know? And
so it'd be 15 feet tall, but they would dig it down?
Yeah. So they weren't like 15 feet tall, like from the
ground level.
From ground level, but you know, once you got inside there. So they were warm in the winter and cool in the summer. And because they were fixed structures, they set the doorway to face east. So it would, like, you'd get some sunshine in the morning. The men, of course, now the men still hunted for food, but they nearby because they also farmed. The most important crop was corn. Even today in the Midwest, you know, they're still growing corn out there.
Although a very different corn.
No, it's exactly the same, isn't it?
No.
The big giant kernels, beautiful yellow.
Nope.
It's exactly the same.
With the big old husks and nope.
Oh, you mean things have changed over time?
Yeah, specifically corn, because it was a wild grass that the natives actually when you have a certain trait that you like in a dog and you breed it to another dog with the trait you like, you get that trait in the offspring. That's what happened with corn. And just over the generations of corn, it metamorphosized, and the little tiny ears used to be like an inch long, an inch and a half long, and now they're as big as they are today.
Ah, well, they probably should have done that a long time ago. Would have been much tastier.
Yeah, if they could only have started centuries before the white man came, it really would be a lot further along. Hint, hint.
So one of the reasons why they like to grow it is because corn specifically could be stored. Farmers could store the surplus maize in underground storage rooms.
Well, that's cool. I wish my underground storage room was a maize. I'd probably get lost, though.
Okay. M-A-I-Z-E.
That's maize. The wrong way to spell maize. It's M-A-Z-E. Keep your hand on the left wall.
You could make corn into lots of different things, like cornbread, corn flour, corn fritters, corn pudding, and other food. They did not make frosted flakes, Brandon.
No corn flakes?
Yeah, no. Frosted flakes specifically had Tony the Tiger. They're great.
You know, a lion won't cheat on you, but a tiger would.
What?
You know, a lion won't cheat on you, but a tiger would.
I don't get the joke.
Tiger Woods, cheater? Never mind.
Oh. You know what? That is, it's too old, man. The tiger has been out of the spotlight for a long time.
Hey, he's making a comeback. He's going up against, what's his name? Mickelson? Or whoever. He's
Phil Mickelson? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway,
November, sign up, people.
So because the tribes were very grateful for the food that they grew and stored and farmed, they had huge ceremonies every year to thank the gods. One when they planted, and one when they harvested the crops. So
good,
big
thank God
festivals. I'm sure they called it Christmas.
Wow, Maze-mas. I'm amazed.
Maze-mas. All right, we got to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a minute with Chris's letter to us about white privilege. So we'll be back in just a moment here on the NativeTalk.net radio podcast.
The NativeTalk.net radio program with Cliff and Brandon.
Don't touch that dial. You don't know where it's been.
You're listening to NativeTalk.net.
Our House Grief Support Center's mission is to provide the community with grief support services, education, resources, and hope. Our House, with the support of trained volunteer group leaders, helps those grieving find sweetness in the tears. With your help, you too can become a volunteer and help grieving children, teens, and adults embark on the journey to hope and healing. For more information, visit ourhouse-grief.org or call 888-417-1414. 1444.
Hey, this is Steve with thepeoplesammo.com. Do you enjoy the outdoor sportsman lifestyle? We've got the high-quality, reliable ammo you need, from home defense rounds to outdoor enjoyment. So check us out at thepeoplesammo.com, where we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all ammo is not created equal. Visit thepeoplesammo.com, where you can stock up on the quality rounds you deserve and shoot with confidence. thepeoplesammo.com.
This is NativeTalk.net radio podcast. When severe weather threatens...
After a roller coaster winter, we're looking ahead to what spring has in store.
A global superstorm developing off towards the Atlantic Ocean.
Run like hell and be sure to take us with you. And grab your nets so we can go fishing.
Welcome back to the NativeTalk.net radio podcast. Message line, if you want to call and drop us a line, 970-278-5791. And visit us online anytime at NativeTalk.net to download and listen to any of our past shows. Now, Brandon, you never graduated high school, did you?
Not even made it through junior high. I mean, once I found out about crack, it was all downhill from there.
I thought you were working on the farm.
I don't get it.
You know, like the back in the old days, the kids would drop out of sixth grade and go work on the farm because...
It was the textile factories. I still have three of my finger.
The textile factories. Okay.
Through high school. It was kind of interesting the way I did it, though, because I was told by my 12th grade English teacher, you need 12th grade English to pass high school. If you do not finish this class, you will not pass high school. And she drilled that into us. And then at the end of the class, she was like, this final paper is worth 60% of your grade. If you don't write this paper, you have failed high school. Like, she took all 4 years and focused it onto this one paper. And I didn't do the paper. It was on overpopulation.
What the hell?
And I wrote the sentence in my introductory, you cannot go 1,000 miles in a straight line and not run into some sign of civilization. People are everywhere. And she's like, did you research this? Did you have to cite this? You can't just say something and call it a research paper. And I didn't like that answer. I found it very practical knowledge. You can't walk 1,000 miles except for in Antarctica.
A thousand miles is a long way.
And she was like, I'm sure you could. I'm sure there's some straight line somewhere that you could walk on the planet. And I got so pissed off at this, I decided I'm not doing the paper. And mom actually went to bat for me, and she got the counselor to roll back the graduation requirements 3 years, 2 or 3 years, so that my public speaking class counted as an English class. And so I got all my English credits without having to need the English 12 credits.
What did your teacher say about that?
Oh, she was pissed. Her name was Miss Morell. If anyone wants to write her and find out how she feels about it, I'm sure she still remembers. But she was livid that I got to graduate without doing her stupid paper, because she like staked her life on the fact that you can't pass this class without doing this final paper. And if you fail this class, you've ruined high school for yourself. And I said, no, I didn't. And I just graduated.
And that's Rio Linda High School, by the way, for those who want to look it up. Okay, so
long story short, thanks, Mom.
So would you say that you believe that graduating high school is an important like benchmark in your life? Do you think it's necessary to do?
Not only just for future employment, because I feel it's pretty much undeniable that you have more opportunities. Is that mine? Oh, God bless. I'm so sorry, everybody. So unprofessional. All right.
Is this your video game?
No, it's a voice chat for my son from one of his little friends. Anyway, it's not only important for future employment, because I think it is. I think when people are trying to choose an employee and one says high school diploma, GED, and one says blank, you know, they're going to go with the one that has more education. So not only is it just important for that, but there's a lot of social, emotional things that go on in high school that you learn how to deal with the people around you. But more importantly, there's a lot of education that happens in those classrooms that becomes very important later on in life, just for your own personal life. Like, if I didn't graduate high school, I wouldn't know geometry, algebra, the reason we have the seasons we have, et cetera, et cetera.
So if you had a school where the graduation rate was, I don't know, 65%, you think that's reasonable? Would you be happy with that 65% graduation rate? If I was
running the school, no. As a student, I would look at that and say, I got a good shot. I'm going for it.
Okay, well, yeah, if you're a student, I'm talking about like if you're a community or like a leader of the high school, you know what I mean?
No, if I'm in any position to have a say in how the school is run, I look at 65% and say, we got a lot of changes to make.
Well, data recently released by the state of North Dakota, okay, shows the Department of Public Instruction says that in 2016, the graduation rate for Native American students specifically was only 65%. And there is a 23% gap between the graduation rate between Native Americans at the same school and the white folks who are going there as well. How would you feel about that?
Confused, because if you have the same opportunity at the school, why are, like, you know, like if you were trying to say, oh, the school has really bad teachers or really bad learning facilities, all the kids are learning at 50 degrees and hungry all day long, and they don't have the right materials, all their books are from the 1980s, you know, like if this was the statement, I'd be like, okay, or the situation, I would believe, oh yeah, the graduation rate would be low. But in the same school with the same materials, same teachers, same schedule, why? I feel confused. Why is that,
you know,
a thing?
Honestly, I was too, because they do not discuss in the story how how or why it's happening. Native American students make up 10% of all students in North Dakota. North Dakota. Okay.
Now it makes way more sense to me.
Why?
Because when you have a lower percentage of a population, any change is going to be hyper reflected. So if you're only dealing with 10%, then say, I don't want to do numbers on the radio. It's kind of bad. But what I'm trying to say is that each individual has a much higher weight on the percentage. If you have 1,000 kids accounting for 90% and 100 kids accounting for 10%, that math is a little off, whatever. Then the one person in the 100 is going to be a huge, much bigger percentile point than the one person.
But Brandon, you also, they use ratios and percentages to represent the whole. That's why when, fish and game go out there and they sample the fish, they don't, you know, dive down there and count every single fish. They estimate the population using math. So just because you have a 10% population, you still have only 65% of them graduating. That's still a problem.
Right. I hear you. But what I'm trying to say is that if you have 20 kids and 13 of them are graduating, you have a 65% graduation rate. But if you start just a few more kids, just get up to like 15 kids, right? Then your percentage spikes up huge, but you've only got two more kids graduating. So what I'm saying is that 1 year isn't enough for me to say that this is a trend or that this is something to be like, oh my God, stop the presses. I need more information.
All right, this has been ongoing. This is definitely a trend.
Okay, if this is like 10 years of data and it's undeniable, then yeah, I'm back to my original statement. We got some changes to make.
And so the number I gave you was just from 2016. And the North Dakota education officials in previous years identified the need to improve Native American graduation rates. So they analyzed how their instruction up in North Dakota could be provided differently to Native American students, both on and off the reservation, adding in, so they didn't take anything away, but they're adding in a cultural component to the K-12 curriculum called Native American Essential Understandings. And in just 1 year, because 65% is what I gave you in 2016, in 2017, across the state, they're now up 2 percentage points to 67, and they have shown that dropout rates have decreased by measurable margins for Native American students.
So one extra kid graduated.
Brandon, is this just because it's North Dakota? Is that why?
I love North Dakota.
Hi, do you like South Dakota but don't want to see Mount Rushmore? Come to North Dakota. It's just a very long drive from wherever you live. Best of all, most of the good license plates aren't taken yet. Imagine coming here and having Cool Dude, or Yay Jews, or Boo Jews, depending on where you stand on Jews. North Dakota, we're not even the best Dakota.
The Department of Public Instruction met twice with tribal leaders on all five of the state's reservations last year, and they said that the meetings were able to break down some barriers between the department and the tribal government, and they're going to continue working. And, you know, I think that's a good thing.
It's good on paper. A 2% hike, man, that's an anomaly, you guys.
Well, let's see if it continues, man. You got to start somewhere.
That's the kind of change you expect to see from a year to year basis, which is what I was getting at. Like, I want to see like years worth of data. This 1 year, come on, man. That's like an extra kid graduated in the state. Good job, guys. I'm glad you poured all this money into reforming. This is the other thing that frustrates me. You know how much money they had to pay to have all these teachers and faculty members plan all this stuff and get around in meetings and discuss all this stuff? If they had just dumped a tenth of the money that they put into wages for extra hours for all these planners into materials or shit, man, sorry for the cussing, extra food. I love food. If I was a student and you're like, hey, come to sixth period, you'll get a hot dog. I'm not skipping sixth period. I'm showing up for my hot dog. You know what I mean? Like, if you just put a tiny bit of effort into the students instead of just making all these extra things, I think it would go a lot further.
Bureaucracy, man. It's always run the same way.
That's why when people are like, we need to fix this state by giving the government more power, I just slam my head against the table. You know, like, this is never the answer.
Not that I didn't appreciate your rant. I don't disagree with you, Brandon, but I gotta move on.
I appreciate you cutting me off of my rants because I get all self-conscious listening back to my anger. But one final thing I want to say on the subject of Native American children graduating, and this is something that separates me from many bleeding heart liberals that I usually agree with. I usually agree with left-wing ideas and values. But man, you got to do it yourself. Just like drug addiction, getting off of whatever substance you're controlled by, you got to do it yourself. So it comes from the individual. I'm very pull yourself up by your bootstraps on that, on education and personal accomplishments.
The email, if you want to write in like Chris did, podcast@nativetalk.net. He starts up, hey guys, I'm still catching up on my podcast, so my response is a little bit behind. Not really, but I appreciate
it. We only do a show once every 3 months. So
I am disappointed that one of you guys, I think he's talking about you,
still
doesn't believe in white privilege.
Oh yeah, that was totally me. Let me rewind last week's episode and see what I said about how much I don't believe in white privilege.
I'm a white-skinned person, and when I see my friends and family who are treated less than me, it really boils me up and makes me angry. I didn't understand the Black Lives Matter movement until I read a Facebook narrative, which he attached, and granted, it's a terrible account, of a white mother who raised both white sons and black sons, and after the difference she experienced in raising them. Oh, and the difference she experienced in raising them. So she's got, you know, kids of different colors, and she sees how people treat them differently.
Question, do we have time to read that? That sounds interesting. I want to, or is it really long? Or
yeah, it's kind of, I mean, look, the point is,
website so people can read it?
Yeah, I'll send it over to you, and I'll post it so people can read. But the point is, she experienced racism towards the black sons that she didn't know was out there because, why would she experience it with white sons, you know?
Well, I would like to read it in its entirety, and if I feel that way, I bet some of our audience does. So that'd be great if you post that up on the website. I'd love to take a look at that.
I will do that. Then suddenly, After reading this story, I understood the Black Lives Matter movement and what my cousin must face every day. For people that don't understand, I ask if they read the mother's narrative, and most people will come away with a different thought process afterwards. Anyway, I just wanted to throw this in the mix if you haven't seen it already. And I had not seen it already, and I appreciated him sending that in. My point was that not that racism doesn't exist or people don't get treated poorly. My point was that makes them terrible people. If you treat somebody differently based on the color of your skin, you're a bad person. You know what I mean?
No.
How can treating somebody poorly based on the color of their skin, and that's the only reason why you're treating them badly, you're preventing them from getting the services you provide, or you have choice words for them, and the only reason for it is the color of their skin, you're telling me that that is not a bad person.
That makes you a person. That makes you a person, period. Because everybody has it. I don't care who you are, what skin color you are, you have it too. And if you refuse to believe it, if you refuse to accept that within yourself, there's no hope for you to make any changes in the future.
No. If you're talking about bigotry exists and is all over the place. You know what I mean? Well, bigotry means that you treat people differently in general. Okay. If I see somebody come in, go ahead.
Let me just say real quick. You pulled out like three examples there that were a little bit more extreme than when I had first said no, because you had first said if you treat people differently based on the color of their skin, I think everybody does, and it doesn't necessarily make you a bad person. Like, if I'm walking in downtown Seattle and I have a big ass bag of diving equipment, hypothetically. And there's a person walking on this street towards me. If it's a white guy, I'm still nervous, right? It's a downtown city at night, and I've got a lot of money on my shoulder. But if it's a black guy who's taller than me, I'm extra nervous. Does that make me a bad person that I step a little bit more to the right? I feel that it's something natural that's happening inside of me that I need to think about and work through.
But wouldn't you judge them based on like the way they carry themselves, the way they're dressed? I would, because if the black man is wearing normal clothes and looking like an ordinary person, I'm going to be equally as nervous as seeing a white guy walk down the street wearing those same clothes. If said black guy is wearing like a hoodie and he's like kind of walking with a swagger or something like that, I'm going to feel a little bit nervous, but I base that on how he's dressed, how he's walking, how he looks, because I would feel the same way about a big old white dude dressed the same way walking towards me. I'd be like, this guy looks like a thug. Nothing to do with the color of his skin.
First off, if you're a black guy and you're not walking with a swagger, I trust you way less. All right. Right off the bat. You got to have some swag as a black guy. I'm kidding. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that it shows up in different people in different ways. And if what you're saying is true, then I applaud you. That's really good. And it's nice that you don't have that type of manifestation of that problem, but it comes out in different ways, you know, and for different people. And I think that you should be paying attention to that internal bias that people have about people with different skin color. It doesn't necessarily make you a bad person if you behave differently, but you should be reflecting on that, trying to understand why and trying to understand how to make yourself better. Because just because you're not the best version of you doesn't make you bad.
Okay. I believe that racism has the ability to that we can work on that. But bigotry, judging people based on the way they look and stuff like that, that's never going to go away. Because then you've got, folks who are judging based on, they see somebody fat, they're going to make judgments on that. You see somebody
I think you're describing bias, not bigotry.
Bias and bigotry is the same thing. Okay. Bias happens. Whatever. It's they're synonyms. Okay. I'm telling you, bigotry is judging people based on appearance. If I see somebody who looks homeless, yeah, I'm going to judge him. If I see somebody who's like dressed like a thug, I'm going to think, wow, it's a thug. See somebody who looks like a skinhead, I'm going to be like, wow, that person's creepy. You know what I mean? But for me, judging them on outward appearance happens, but skin color doesn't necessarily come into that. However, I'm not stupid enough to think that that doesn't happen. And so when people talk about the concept of white privilege, if what they're talking about is that white people experience less discrimination than people in minority groups, I concede that. I get it. Okay.
That's exactly what it is.
Okay. But it seems to me that people like Nancy and others who use that phrase and throw it around want me somehow to feel guilty about it, to feel bad about it. And I'm sorry, I just don't. Okay.
You know what? I'm fine with that because I don't need to feel guilty for other people's garbage behavior.
Yeah. And people want me to throttle my opinions, what I think, what I believe, what I say, based on some fear of triggering people out there. Like, I should be afraid that that something I say because I don't live in their world is going to somehow make them feel bad. And I should feel guilty about that. I should change my behavior, my thoughts, and my beliefs. You know what? I think that everybody is entitled to whatever it is they believe, and those beliefs should be objectively judged because some beliefs are wrong. And I'm going to judge those beliefs objectively based on what they tell me, not based on what they look like or who they're triggering. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's kind of like how I've never been a victim of rape, right? I've never had something like that terrible happen to me. Yet I can still talk about it or have an opinion about it. And maybe if I wanted to have like a wrong opinion, I'm going to emphasize that I don't agree with the opinion I'm about to effuse. But if I had the opinion of, oh, she only got raped because she was dressing skimpy clothing, you know, because she was wearing a mini skirt, she got what she was asking for. That opinion might be wrong. But that opinion should be judged based on the merits of the opinion, not the fact that I've never been raped. You know what I'm saying? Like, just because I've never been raped doesn't mean that's why my opinion about the miniskirts is wrong. Judge the opinion on the miniskirts for what it is, regardless of my history, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So where I come down on this is I'm not going to sit around. I'm not going to feel guilty. I'm not going to feel concerned that my skin color affords me anything over another person, because to get away from race, okay, does a rich man, and should a rich man, feel guilty in his house that's four times bigger than mine, driving his Tesla to work, sending his kids to private school? Is he going to feel guilty that he's got a better life than me?
Well, bet not.
Okay, well, yeah, but he shouldn't if he does.
I mean, he should feel guilty if he's like not hiring any black people or Native Americans or Mexicans, and he's just got a bunch of white people on staff and he's a racist bigot.
Okay. I'm talking about just the fact that he's rich versus poor.
He could also feel guilty if he made his fortune by abducting homeless people and put them onto a forced labor work camp. And he was able to raise his fortune off of the backs of less fortunate people.
Okay.
Yeah, he should feel guilty about that.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about, you asshole. Okay. I'm talking about you who own a home and you live in a warm place. You have food to eat. Do you feel
debatable?
Do you feel guilty, you know, about the fact that there are homeless people out there in your city, in your area? Should you feel bad about that? Like, oh, Jesus, look at all this stuff we have. Oh, man, it's so bad. You know, no.
You know what I feel? Honestly, what I feel when I see a homeless person sitting down at a rest stop or in front of a store or whatever, begging for money. What I actually feel is, man, you could be using this time a lot better. Like you could be, instead of sitting in, cause there's times I cross a store, I come back 6 hours later, same dude is in front of the store. I'm like, what else could you be doing right now? Why are you making this your life? And so when I see people that are out there actually doing something, like picking aluminum cans out of the bushes or whatever, I usually stop and give them money, because I'm like, you guys are the ones that deserve it. You're the ones out there working on the city.
Exactly. So there's nothing wrong with doing something about the issue, about the problem, trying to help folks out. That's not what I'm talking about. You should be doing that. And we should be fighting racism and terrible people everywhere. But
I don't feel guilty about it.
Yeah, exactly my point. So if you look at it in the abstract, it's obvious that privilege exists everywhere. And everywhere you go, somebody's got it better than you. Somebody who went to Harvard, they've got connections, they've got abilities, they've got, you know, like even if they get the same quality of education, going to Harvard affords you privilege that me going to Utah State will never enjoy. Okay?
However, I would like to point out the basis of white privilege and how it's systemically holding down minorities. You kind of just touched on it with your Harvard benefits there. If you can't get accepted into Harvard because you're a minority, you are held out of all of the benefits that is able to provide you.
Look, I identify that as a problem, but I look around and say, it's not my issue, man. What I mean, should I cry myself to sleep at night over this? I want it to be better. I want to work on it. But I mean, give me something to work on that doesn't involve me feeling bad about what I look like. You know, I didn't control that.
Which is why I want to say an extra thank you to Chris for trying to write in and let Clifton know that white privilege does exist, because despite me and Nancy trying to tell him, he didn't listen to us. He said it was stupid, look, and it doesn't happen.
Because they're trying to put me down, make me feel bad, and I don't like it. Okay? I don't like it. Look, everywhere you go, somebody's got it better than you. Okay? It's just, that's life. Life ain't fair. I'm sorry if you think that life should be sunshine and rainbows and everything should be just utopia, okay? It ain't never gonna happen. And there is not a damn thing that any of us can do to fix that.
If it ain't never gonna happen.
You know what, Brandon? You're talking to you. Just, I need a drink. If my point here is, if your basis that you judge or decide how to choose another human being is the color of their skin, you should be called out for it, for what it is. That's flat out racism. It's wrong.
Nancy.
And it's evil, but for some, Nancy, to suggest that fact of life should in any way alter how I live my life is ridiculous. Because if I've got something to say, or if you've got something to say, we're going to say it. And if a person of color, this is important, if a person of color, or an abused person, or a held down person, or any person out there, writes into this show, calls in and leaves a message, if they've got an opinion, okay, I don't care what it is, if they want to express it on this show, as long as it's interesting, you're welcome to do so, and we're going to put it out there, you know, because everybody's got a platform. I believe that. So, that's where I come down on that.
That's the end of your rant there? You got to the last sentence?
Yes, it is.
You know, and I just try to think about the what you said, how you were like, it shouldn't change our lives in any way. And I just remember where you were at 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, I think that the change that you have made in the last 2 weeks.
I haven't changed. I'm just explaining my position, but I haven't. My position hasn't changed, honestly.
Yeah, it has. Your position
hasn't.
You went from it's stupid and it doesn't exist to I concede that point.
That people are treated differently. That's not what I heard white privilege being.
you weren't listening.
When I heard Nancy, she said that white privilege was me shutting up because I'm privileged or something.
No, she said that because you grew up in a white skinned life, you don't know.
So I don't have a right to talk. That was her point.
Yeah, but she was she took white privilege and described white privilege, and then she took it an extra step to say, because of that, you can't possibly know what it's like. Therefore, your opinion has no standpoint, has no legs, and you can't express it, and you should shut up and delete all of your previous words. And that's wrong. That's taking something true and taking a
Where do you think this road goes? That's where this road always goes.
Well, hopefully the road goes to people like you who have lighter skin and who have privilege and who are in a position to hire other people. Hopefully you have this in the back of your head so that when you have five white guys and five black guys coming in to, sorry, let's say 2.5 white men and 2.5 white women and vice versa for African-American people, because we have to be all equal now.
Are we going to bring women into this?
Yeah, but only half of them, right?
I definitely wouldn't be hiring that half.
Oh my God. So anyway, let's say you have all these different people coming in and you start noticing that, oh, I really like Steve. Oh yeah, I really like Austin. Wow, you know, Brad is a great applicant, and all of these other people who are minorities never make your callback pile. Maybe you'll look at this pile and notice that you picked all the white straight males out of this applicant pool of diversity, and you only picked the people that match your skin color, match your beliefs.
How can you judge that based on an application?
When you look at it, does it say Daquan or Steve? You know what I'm saying? Like, is there address bugaboo ghetto gangster at hotmail.com?
Why would you make that your email? That's stupid.
I don't know. I'm making stuff up to try and give you an estimate on how you might be able to tell this from an application. And people do it all the time, or they have multiple rounds of interviews so that they can meet an applicant face to face. Lo and behold, all the people that have darker skin get filtered out at the first step of the interview. And maybe the employer, the person who's deciding, doesn't even notice it from that internal bias that I talked about earlier. Maybe they don't even know it's happening to them. So hopefully the change is acknowledgement for people in those seats of power to acknowledge that there is a problem with themselves and with society in general. And I don't think that makes them a bad person, to harken back to what it was before. Sometimes I think it's just a natural intrinsic bias that comes from you because you're surrounded by like people at birth and through your childhood. So when you get into your adulthood, it's natural to try and surround yourself with people that look and act and think like you do. Hopefully the change is you recognize that problem and don't allow it to control who you hire. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess so.
Exactly. And this is why I say you changed, Cliff. And I say the change is for the better, because by acknowledging it, at least you might have that seed planted in your head for the future.
Here's a nice one. Chris,
who
somewhat explained himself instead of attacked me, probably had something to do with me, you know, actually considering the words coming out of his mouth instead of all the garbage that I have usually heard. You know what I'm saying?
You guys notice what happened, right? A minority tried to tell Cliff about white privilege, and he didn't believe it till the white guy said something.
Okay. That is not what happened.
That's exactly what happened. I mean, so, factually, it is what happened.
Anyway, I wrote Chris back with that something along the lines of that same rant. And he wrote back. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but dude. So Chris says,
why do you have the privilege to filter other people's words?
Chris says, in part, the idea of white privilege, I know, sounds strange and confusing at first. I think what people of color have been trying to tell us, that it's not that we should feel guilty that they're treated as less of a person than you, it's not our fault. Okay, we don't need to feel guilty that they're treated less than. But if we could be aware of it, and if we see discrimination happening in front of us, we should step up and say something. So,
and not to perpetrate it ourselves, whether it's intentional, because I think if you intentionally do it, that makes you a bad person, but it can be unintentional as well. And you just have to be aware of it and have your guard up to keep yourself from doing that.
Yeah. And so he says that,
sorry, Chris, for interrupting you. It doesn't just happen with white people. Everybody, Native Americans do it too. Black people do it too. Hispanic people do it too. Swedish people do it too. Australians do it too. Everybody. So Nancy, when you see us with a different skin color and you decide our words don't matter because of it, maybe check your bias first.
He finishes up, says, privilege exists everywhere. And studies have shown that the more wealth people accumulate, the less compassion they have towards others. I'm not saying that you should go around and feel guilty about that privilege. I went around feeling that way at first, and I can imagine some people want white people to feel guilty, but I think it's about using your privilege to be aware of what's going on around you so you can help others. Nancy's in the wrong when she says, don't say anything that could possibly trigger anyone. Well, how would you live at all? Anyone can be triggered by anything. So, and then I like the last thing he says. Cliff, I hope you have been participating in the fight against Trump and everything that he represents. We could really use someone as passionate as you in this fight. Look,
he voted for him. He supports Trump.
I am not a Trump supporter. I liked Marco Rubio. I voted against Hillary Clinton. I am not a Trump supporter.
Clifton,
I want to make that clear.
Clifton keeps a cabinet full of Cheetos under his desk just so he can feel closer to President Orange.
Not true. At all.
He wants to put it in his mouth, get some dust all over his tongue.
No. Seriously, I'm not a Trump supporter.
Clifton wears really tight gloves just so he can shrink his hands down.
I am a conservative, not a Trump supporter. But you know what, though? I didn't much care for Obama. He did some good things. I don't care for Trump, but he's done some good things. He's mostly an idiot, though. So, anyway.
Way to speak out against the man.
We'll be back next week with more stimulating Native Talk Radio, only on nativetalk.net, jerk.
Someday, we'll be divided into two groups, those who listen to nativetalk.net radio and those who've never listened to anything else. Now grab your nets and let's go fishing.